Welcome to Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Curiosities. Chris, what are we burning today?
We've brought back the Dream On candle, teak wood, musk, leather, and sage.
Very masculine.
So the Andy Jones ball sack aroma is in the wafting through the studio tonight. It's even more so than usual.
Like Long John Silver's fish planks, but close enough. They don't make one of those Curiosities, but if you want to find out what they do make, Curiosities.com. Enter that promo code POTHEAD for what?
20% off.
That can't be.
Entire order.
I don't believe
it. You know what? I heard it's a clerical error. Take advantage before they figure it out.
That's there's no take backs. Just do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
You know that, you know, if I
you may.
That reminds me of something that happened fairly recently.
Yeah.
No, what else, what happened to you now?
No, this wasn't, well, not anything. It wasn't someone running a car into me in Five Guys parking lot or anything, but it was my wife ordered my son wanted a drone. Like a little, whatever, not a crazy one, but so she was looking at them and she's like, is this right? She found one on there for 2 cents.
What?
And ordered two of them. Transaction went through. And all of a sudden, the refund, the price went way up, refund was issued, and no, you can't have that.
Really? So they didn't?
Yeah, we didn't challenge it. I don't know if you could, but I thought that was a little strange.
Clerical error.
Yeah, it's like, okay, this can't be right, but the transaction went through.
That's ridiculous.
And then all of a sudden they're like, no, we can't. I get it, but I don't know. Didn't care to pursue it or anything like that, but just made me wonder, can you do that if you put out a price that's a mistake like that? I don't know.
I guess you could do whatever you want nowadays. You just have to wait for someone to complain about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, what are you going to do? You going to hire a lawyer to enforce it? Of course you're not going to sell a drone for 2 cents.
Yeah.
It was a mistake. You realized it when the order went through. Yeah. You canceled it.
Yeah.
And if somebody makes a big deal out of it, say, okay, fine, get your lawyer, have them talk to us.
Yeah, if someone were to look into it and try to figure out what technically is the, what are the ethics behind such a transaction and such a situation, I have no idea.
Well,
but I just found it interesting.
It's not an ethical issue. They had a mistake.
Should they be required to honor it?
No, not for 2 cents. Get out of here. Come on.
I mean, well, what if
you guys
I said,
are sounding like trash now with this fucking direction?
What if I said, what's the best? Can you do any better? What's the best you can do for me?
I see you got it up for 2 cents. What can you do?
What can you do for me?
If you want to step in and try to negotiate, fine, but it's an obvious mistake.
Well, here's my other
question.
You're
not obligated to sell it for that price, period.
Was it on Amazon?
Yeah.
I don't know. That changes everything. I feel like that's the Wild West.
I have no
clue. Could cause a stink.
All right, fine.
If you're buying
get a lawyer.
Yeah.
initiate an interstate lawsuit and see how that pans out for you. So you're going to end up paying $500 or more for your fucking 2 cent drone.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to go with Alvarez, and I'm not going to pay him unless I win.
Yeah, well.
All right.
That's a trash attitude right there. They need to honor it. It said 2 cents. Hey. I want my 2 cent drone.
But does we just were like, okay, they cancel it.
Well, right, because you're not trash.
But then not entirely, it just raised the question in my mind. Like, I wonder,
if you really dug your heels in, what would happen?
Or just if you looked into, you read up on whatever the rules are,
Amazon policy or something.
Technically, is that something within their rights to do? It was just an interesting situation. So,
again. If you want to dig your heels in, you're going to spend upwards of $500, probably $1,000 on a lawyer to get your 2 cent drone. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense at all to anybody?
It's the thrill of victory.
I was going to call Top Dog on my way. I was going to call Top Dog and MCD and all the other lawyers that are on the billboards.
I've heard similar questions from customers on patreon.com/potofthunder. They've seen those prices. They thought, this must be a damn mistake. And it's in both directions. No, and it's not.
But they weren't canceled once they placed their order.
So what I want you to do...
The real mistake was when they got their membership and became Patrons. That was the mistake.
Hopefully that's not true. And hopefully you love it. There's tears for everybody. If you want to be like Bobby to the Root, who introduced this show, this week's episode.
That's going to be our special next month for Pot of Thunder Month. Join Patreon, get a 2-cent drone.
And then we just canceled.
Yeah, we didn't get those. Sorry.
Yeah. We can't help you, right?
Right.
That's
exactly
it. Yep. So go ahead, check that out. Patreon.com/Pot of Thunder. If there's something that's not on there, we'll do it. You want me to rate your genitals? We can do that. Whatever you want.
Andy's like the Russian judges at the Olympics, though. So
mm-hmm.
He's going to be honest with you.
That's right. It might hurt you. So we'll see. But you know who I am.
Could he be the most nakedest man in the world?
Yes, I am. I'm your buddy, Andy, America's little brother. As always,
reeking of sandalwood, the nakedness just elevates the scent.
It does. As always, joined by this man, he's gonna dance. Nick Pollock has entered the program. Nick, hello. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a delight.
It's nice to be welcome on the show.
Get me all taken care of here.
Andy gets cold.
My scarf. Yeah, I need it. This scarf actually, I guess it's satin or some other kind of satin-esque, some offshoot of satin. This thing makes you sweat quickly.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's like one of those space blankets. Just keeps all your heat in
your
body.
Had one of those.
I did. I bought it when I went to NASA.
I remember it.
About a space blanket.
Like, what is this? Why does Andy have glorified tinfoil?
It's basically a big sheet, a sheet of tinfoil for like $15. No, I don't know what it was. It was a ripoff.
Why is he laying under this?
You know how it is when you go somewhere. You just waste money on stupid shit you didn't need. That's what happens. You got money burning a hole in your pocket when you go somewhere on a trip, you know?
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people.
It's a reminder of a souvenir that you were there.
That's it.
Kind of like listening to the podcast. You can buy a souvenir.
There you go. Love that idea.
Plenty of souvenirs available. Do we still have those pins available?
There's a single digit amount of pins available
over on Etsy. We made
years ago. God, that was pre-COVID when we put those out the first time.
It was pre your house renovation, wasn't it?
For sure. Yeah, it was. I think it was maybe 18 or 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
So there's a few of those left. What were there, 100, I think? I don't know. But if you want one of 100 on potofthunder.com, you could find them on there.
I mean, you're here. You visited.
That's right.
You made the trip.
Yeah.
Go home with something.
$10 ships domestically for free with $10.
Vintage autographs.
Yeah, autographs. Pre-COVID autographs.
From the last decade.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look closely, Andy, up in that the upper left nook up there, the Grand Canyon shot glass.
There you go. Exactly. Can I grab it?
Yeah, go ahead. Somebody at Playboy just gave that to me.
There you go.
They're like, yeah, we were at the Grand Canyon. I picked this up. Do you want it? I go, hell yeah. I want it.
That's as big as the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, it is.
That's not just a shot glass.
The South Rim. So it says
I think that was a spice cattle title.
He bought that at the proctologist office at the Grand Canyon.
I think that's, in fact, now that I'm thinking about it, that's why they bought it, because it said South Rim on it.
That makes sense. Yeah,
to make absolute sense, if you, Andy and I, understand it. And as the rest of you probably imagine what it was like to be at Playboy, there's an example.
There you go. You know who that is, but we have to introduce him. You want him. We got him.
I can have it.
every day, yeah, yeah. I can have it. Get out of my way, yeah, fuck you.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast, Medium. Chris L's in the house. We're off to a wild start here. All over the place. But that's what we feel like doing. That's what we're doing. Glad to have you with us here in the month of March. We're back to normal, I think, right? We're going back to the listener submission list.
No guests. No listener submission list.
Yeah.
Which might yield a registering of another segment that's been dormant for a while. Who knows?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I want to say it's Chris's pick this week, right?
No, it's Andy.
Is it?
Is it mine?
Yeah, wow. Andy's okay. Up. Because you had a pick during Lou or February.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're in alphabetical order by first name, so it's back to Andy.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to fire up the listener submission list here in a second, but quickly, Nick, I was wondering if you've baked anything today.
No, I'm sorry.
I'll be damned. All right, that's not going to buy me. I'm going to find another way to buy me some time here.
Okay. Yeah.
What happened? You were too wrapped up in your drone imbroglio to bake something?
I was getting a team together to take on Big Drone.
Yeah, you were called getting a Kardashian on the line.
Alan Dershowitz.
Yeah, the OJ legal team to defend you.
That guy's still popping up, Alan Dershowitz.
Is he still alive?
Dude, he's always on TV now. He's involved in all the Epstein stuff.
I didn't know that. I haven't seen it. Really? I tend not to watch that programming if I can avoid it, but
yeah.
That guy's still farting around, huh?
Yeah.
Andy and I have a friend.
Everybody else is dead on that legal team.
Well, I was just going to say.
Cochran.
I was just going to say, Andy and I have a friend who got Cochran's autograph back in the day.
Really?
Yeah. No at a Greek restaurant.
Oh, okay. That tells me who it was. Wow. That's shameful of him to get that. disgraceful autograph.
Well.
If it's on the spit, you must acquit.
There you go.
There's a line at the Greek restaurant.
All right, well, we are going to go back to the listener submission list.
Funnel-shaped meat. You got to love the Greeks, man.
Yeah, they can't get
just
enough.
Just press it together as hard as you can and shave it off.
Yeah. Nick, are you ready to fire it up over there?
I'm going to fire it up, and then I'm going to put it out with lemons and yell, Opa.
Oh,
there you go.
Throw a plate. I'm going to drop Chris's Grand Canyon shot glass. All right, fire it up. Okay, the first pull was number 698 from the list of 1,875.
Almost up to date.
Getting there.
I'd say if someone, whoever submits 2026, maybe we're obligated to pick that. Is that trouble?
That's pretty interesting. I like that idea. If we'll get there, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, 150
or
so.
That's doable, yeah. Okay, so this one, I know who all the players are that are involved in it. I don't know the song at all. I like the idea of it, so I'm going to put this in my back pocket. Think about it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Nick says, Okay. Nick, another, please.
Oh.
1,230. Let's see. Are we going to that one? Pulling that one here. Oh, I don't know what this is at all. Oh, no, I do. Okay. Delightful, but not going to happen.
Not as good as the first one.
No, and we're kind of coming out of
that kind of theme.
So we're going to bushwhack it for now. Move along to the next trick. That being said, we'll do one more pull. Let's see if it's the winner, Nick. 1,751, almost to the bottom of the list. Let's see, who are we going to get here?
It's almost the modern day, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. 751. Okay. Absolute banger, huh? I don't know, man.
That's on the, you know, that's in the comments quite a bit.
Yeah, I believe him.
And it's probably true in most of the cases.
I think I'm interested in the first one.
Okay.
It's your call, dude.
Yeah. You were more enthusiastic. Yeah. I'm not looking at the screen, but I'm hearing your reactions and the...
Yeah. Know, there's nothing wrong with any of them, but what is jumping out at me right now is the first one. So we're going to go with the number, 698. Yeah, so that's going to be the winner here.
Well, I'm going to go on the principle of close enough for rock and roll and say, hit it.
Habemus papam.
Time for hopes up. Yay, that hopes up. Here's some hopes up. Time for hopes up.
All right, so there's no specific date here, but we've got the Council of Aguileia, not to be confused with the Council of Aguilera, but the Council of Aguileia, the bishops of the Diocese of Aquileia decide to end the schism of the three chapters and return to communion with Rome.
That's a happy ending.
There's got to be some Pope connection there, if not overtly mentioned.
If there's a schism involved, then a lot of times that involves people not wanting to submit to the authority.
Yeah, we're talking, Pope, you know, there's schisms, there's bishops, there's Christina Aguilera performing.
I mean, that's,
all points to some Pope involvement. I wonder who the Pope was in 698.
I've never heard of the three chapters, the schism concerning the three chapters. I'm going to have to look that up. Educational.
Isn't that the movie that had the plethora scene that you sent us last week?
Would you say I have a plethora of schism?
It's possible. A plethora of chapters.
A plethora of schismatics? Interesting.
So now that word is jumping out at me anytime I hear it because of you sending that Three Amigos clip the other day in our group chat. I was listening to the Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce podcast, and I heard, I think it was Paul Pierce said, oh, they've got a plethora of guards. Even these guys are saying plethora. Everyone's saying
everybody
plethora.
Is.
It's the hot word of the...
Nick did that. Nick made it
come
back.
It's a matter of time before they abbreviate it to plethy.
He's got a plethora of assists tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So who was the Pope in 698, Nick?
698, that's a long time. I'm going to say one of the Bonifaces or Bonaventures. Is it Bonaventure? I don't know. Probably wrong.
Incorrect.
On both counts.
It's a new name from the list. I don't think we've mentioned yet. Pope Sergius the First.
Yeah.
Was the Pope in 698.
Andy's going to make the same joke I'm going to make.
Go ahead.
Pope Power Sergius.
Yeah. I was going to say he had a license plate on his Pope Mobile that said Power Sergius. All right.
He reigned from December 15th, 687 until his death on September 8th, 701. His papacy was marked by a refusal to endorse the Quinisext Council, Second Trullan Synod of 692.
It's a mouthful.
If he didn't want to endorse it.
He pulled a Power Sergius move on the Synod of Quintext, whatever the fuck.
Power handshakes at everybody, that guy.
Not endorsing it. He said
wasn't having it.
He said, it doesn't work for me, brother.
He basically had it at that point.
Yeah, got to respect that.
Yeah. Digging his heels in.
That's his place.
That's why he had the nickname Power Sergius.
That's it.
Not putting up with any bullshit. I love it.
Yes. So, I'm excited to hear this song because, again, know all the players involved. Never heard the song, to my knowledge.
So, know all the players involved. That leads me to think it's some sort of all-star.
That's what it looks. That's
gathering.
How it's presented here.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's someone featuring two other people.
All the players.
So
is that? Oh wow! Yeah, that's,
zoom in, Andy.
He's got
power surge.
That's a power.
Right,
that's a look papal tiara. That
this guy's not. It is not to be trifled with.
Yeah,
I heard there people are pushing to get Pope Leo a papal tiara so he'll wear it again, because I guess the popes have not worn the giant metal crown hat that they call the tiara for.
Does he want it?
I don't know if he wants it, but it's
because if he doesn't
I'm
want
sure
it.
There but I've heard there's a push that
let's not
people
let's not
are,
push a man to wear a tiara if he doesn't want it.
Well, it's
if he's
not,
if he ordered one on Amazon for 2 cents yeah. Then let him have it
then. He then in that case they should just yeah we made a mistake, you're getting yeah. the papal tiara.
I feel like you don't start a movement to convince a man or whatever.
Well,
force
and
a man
and
to
not
wear
just
it.
A man well, effing Pope.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a tiara as it's not a tiara that you would get in a set of like for your, you know, a little girl would get in her frozen
sure,
no,
we
frozen
understand
costume,
that,
but
Nick.
But it's been many popes now. It was I don't know who the last one was, but it's been a while.
Well, and ask yourself, why has it been a while? Why yeah. are
I don't
they
know.
Wearing this thing anymore?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Why,
I don't know. If
why would you want
to
bring it back if nobody's been wearing the thing?
That's
decades?
Yeah. It's a good question.
Look, I know it's all smoke and mirrors, but I, for one, would prefer my Pope to have some humility in
well,
the presentation.
Well, I think that might be the reason that they haven't worn it for a while.
I'm on board with that. In general,
yeah,
we don't need to see all that shit.
Yeah, you're
sparkly
right.
Sparkly crown
and
on
plus,
a...
Plus, who are these people lobbying for yeah. this thing to come back?
Is it just like a headline that do? I saw? No, I haven't looked into much of it. But yeah, from what I've heard, there are people lobbying for it.
I mean, the Pope is not a fucking trained chimp to
exactly
to wear and do whatever you want him to. Leave him alone. Let him do his thing.
There you go.
Jesus.
He does have other stuff going on.
Yeah, a few things, you think?
Yeah. All right.
Wasting his time whether not to wear the papal tiara. Get out of here. Jesus Christ. Sergius wouldn't be wearing that crap.
Well, on that picture, he's wearing the biggest tiara I've ever seen.
Oh, he is wearing one. That is.
That was just for the picture. He didn't wear it all the time.
It's Photoshop.
It's an artist's rendering.
No, I mean, if he posed for the picture, you could tell he's not thrilled about it. I mean, look at him.
Well, because he's
like,
thinking
get
about
this damn thing off me.
He's thinking about whether or not he's going to approve that council or that synod.
And the answer is no.
That's the moment he realized he wasn't going to approve
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Tony Gregg said he should wear a Cubs baseball cap. That's not going to happen.
He's
that's
a Sox guy.
He'll wear the
he?
Tiara before he wears a Cubs
yeah.
cap.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
He'll wear the Sox softball logo that they had in the 70s.
There you
he'll
go.
Wear the Sox shorts that
yeah,
they wore.
Yeah, exactly. And the collared shirts and the... All the other crap. He'll. You want to bring something back? He's going to bring back Disco Demolition Night on the South Side.
All right, it's time for us to reveal this week's song. Bev said, "Hurry up! I got to go to bed." So we're going to do it right now.
Jesus.
Yeah, Bev wants to know
my
what's,
goodness,
what she's got in store for
Damn.
Her, and it's 6 hours later over there. So let's make it happen right now. Let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho.
This one's called
Soul Mover.
Off of
Soul Mover.
By the band
Glenn Hughes featuring Navarro and Smith.
All right.
You guys familiar?
Never heard of this project. I've heard of
I didn't,
many of his other
yeah.
things, like Fused that he did with Tony Iommi, I believe.
No.
And also was prominent on the Iommi solo album, but this is not one I'm familiar with. So Dave Navarro and Chad Smith.
Yeah.
Never.
So they didn't
aware they, was not aware of
they this. Didn't come up with a band name.
That's just Glenn Hughes, but I think I don't know if the whole band is featuring those two, if the whole album is, or if it's just this song. I have no idea. We'll find out together as a group, but it says Glenn Hughes featuring Navarro and Smith. Maybe it is the whole album. But this is from Mark Givitz.
Okay.
It would be pretty funny if he just made it up. It didn't exist.
And you're just looking
and I'm like, oh yeah, that's the song we're going with, the one that doesn't exist.
Well, he's a co-host of the Hard Rocking Trivia Show. He knows everything. Yeah. So
right.
Mark Givitz and Mark take it.
That's it.
He knows.
So Mark says, Glenn Hughes is known as the voice of rock because after 50 years in the business, he can still sing his ass off.
That's a true statement.
On the song Soul Mover, Glenn, who is a bass player, is joined by Dave Navarro on guitar and Chad Smith on drums. So,
liking the power trio arrangement that's being hinted at here.
Yeah,
I mean you can't argue with any of these three guys. That's for sure.
Oh no,
how's it gonna go together? We'll find out.
What year did this come out? Do we know?
Is this 05? I'm seeing 05.
This guy looks like a freak. This.
Chad Smith.
What's this shit?
Let's see.
Mythology. Come on.
Where's? Yeah, I see Dave Navarro. I'm looking to see just, is it a steady? No, I think Navarro is more of a guest, and it looks like Chad Smith and Glenn Hughes and a guy named JJ Marsh on guitar are on the entire album.
Okay.
But Navarro, it looks like Frusciante's actually on one of these tracks.
Really?
He's on track 13. That's interesting. Frusciante and Navarro on the same.
And you said 2005?
That's what I'm seeing, yeah.
Okay.
And this is the opening track, which means, according to Wikipedia, Navarro is on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Of course I can't. I found the song on an anthology, so it's number 24.
There's a live bonus Australian CD that I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, Kevin Dubrow on backing vocals on the live track.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
No, apparently they were pretty close friends. I've seen several videos of, especially on like the anniversary of Dubrow's passing, Glenn Hughes, it's more than once put out a video talking about how he had a close relationship with him, and and mourns his passing on that occasion. I've seen that at least a couple times in recent years.
Well, never knew that.
That's cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't either. But yeah, there you go.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to give this a try. I don't know what to expect. I don't know if there's a video, but if there is, we're not even going to look. We're just going to play it. I'm not in the video mood today.
No, the video watch-alongs kind of mess up my real videos that I put out. It messes up the grid when I'm trying to make a video. So you can do without the video watch-along. Right. But on paper, I'm stoked to hear this. I'm a huge Navarro fan. One of my all-time favorite guitarists. Chad Smith, of course, great Detroit guy.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Glenn Hughes still even to this day still chugging along, killing it on the vocals. One of these guys who's just a freak of nature. I don't know where he gets, you know, the wherewithal, I guess you would say, to continue on as he's continuing, but he doesn't seem to be slowing down in the slightest.
Yeah, you only hear about a few guys like that, not to go down a list, but for the most part, physically, the muscle that enables you to do that doesn't work like it used to.
Are any of them American? Because I'm thinking of a couple, and none of them are American.
Well, the one I talked about last week, which you know, is not really on top of the list because of the band he was in, but Mickey Thomas is maybe still in Starship. I don't know, but by all accounts, that guy, he's got to be pushing 80. And is killing it on the vocals in 440 concert tuning. There's no tuning down for that guy. And most of his material is in that upper register. Yeah. So there's one example. But there aren't that many, American or otherwise.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, It's hard to maintain that, if not impossible.
Yeah. Real quick before we get started, I see the chat is choosing violence today, as they say.
Well.
Fielding Fowler, only guy who liked Dubrow.
That's entirely possibly true.
Tony Griggs, Dubrow didn't make many friends.
You don't,
for sure.
Yeah, that's so, kind
is
of.
Is that his rep?
That's the reputation that I've heard, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, difficult guy to get along with.
Yeah.
In the industry, not a lot of friends.
William Regal almost strangled him one time.
What?
That's the story I heard.
How did that happen?
He guested on his radio show, and I guess William Regal loves Slade. And Dubrow mentioned something about how they covered Slade, and he just didn't like him, or something. I don't know. Mm. Regal just didn't care for Dubrow for some reason. I mentioned it to somebody not that long ago, and I tried tracking down the story. I found a small mention of it, but I swear I heard it on, like, I don't know if it was Regal's podcast, but
yeah,
there was something that I heard where Regal's recounting the story about that.
That would have
been
bad.
And he just said he was looking across the microphone and seeing Dubrow and just had this urge to... He didn't act on it, but just had an urge to attack him or something like that.
That would have been bad.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if...
I don't know if that clip exists. I heard it, though.
At some point you did, huh?
I did hear it.
Okay.
But yeah, that is his reputation. Well, yeah. We've all heard the stories about the implosion, the famous implosion of Quiet Riot, the quickest rise and fall, probably, maybe not ever, but of any band, just the highest high, and then it just, phew.
Yeah,
it's only a couple of years, right?
Yeah, and it was just top of the heap and then bottom of the heap.
Wow. Well, hopefully this song doesn't inspire any of us to strangle each other while we're listening here today. But let's take a quick commercial break. And we'll be right back with Soul Mover.
Okay, so this is kind of what I was musically expecting in a way, because the power trio thing, I'm thinking, okay, is there going to be like a King X vibe? There sort of is, but there's more of like a... More of a Hendrix vibe.
Yeah, I was just about to say I'm getting Foxy Lady.
Yeah,
right off the bat, huh?
Vibes from this, yeah.
It's because I think maybe because it sounds dirtier. If it was like less fuzzy and more kind of had more direct punch to the sound, I would say more King's X. But probably just the tone of the guitar is all that you need to change.
Yeah.
And you can have Hendrix Experience or King's X kind of a sound.
Hmm.
Yeah. No, it's pretty spot on to what I heard. So,
all right.
So far, so good. I guess you heard the news today. There's a rumble going down. I just got back from
You say he just got back from Monterey?
Yeah.
Okay. Not sure.
He's probably talking a reference to the Monterey Pop Festival, which of course was Hendrix's big coming out party when he lit his guitar on fire and blasted on acid for his set, and that was his big American debut, I think. So that would make sense for him to want a Hendrixian vibe to the music.
That makes sense, I guess. My mind immediately went to, okay, we're going to get a story about people going to Mexico for having some sort of adventure south of the border.
Yeah, it could be it.
That's, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. This might just be a whole story about that festival and the...
It's possible.
The rumblings afterwards.
Who knows where we're going to go, but it might be a whole song about Hendrix when you think about the title here, so yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. And you may never see my face.
I mean, I think it sounds great. I think his voice sounds fantastic. There's one thing about, this may not be a popular opinion, but wouldn't be my first and it won't be my last. this sounds awesome, but this style of vocal performance to me is more like, okay, what he's doing is impressive, but there's no way after hearing this song I'm going to be humming it later.
Right.
So that to me makes it a little less interesting. It's impressive, but it's not something that it's like it's pulling me in that for repeat listens or something.
Yeah,
like that.
He leans more toward histrionics than melody with his vocals.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you on that. Sometimes it's a bit much for me. I mean, obviously, to have the ability to do that is impressive, but I think even more impressive is when you have that ability, but you know when to dial it back. And, I would say that would be my one criticism or personal complaint about Glenn Hughes is he just... He lets it rip for the sake of doing it vocally, at the expense sometimes of melody.
Yeah.
Was there some foreshadowing earlier when we talked about Christina Aguilera?
That's possible.
She does that too, right?
Well, most of these modern diva singers do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, she falls into that going too far with it, but she's also demonstrated some restraint over the course of her career. Some of her contemporaries have zero restraint whatsoever, just screaming into the microphone and going on these vocal runs, and it's just at the expense of the melody. Yeah, I think Nick nailed it. You know, I think when you're concentrating too much on showing what you can do vocally, you lose that connection to the melody. Not that there's a particularly strong melody going on here, but there could be more attention paid to selling a melody.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an endurance test because he's doing it every single line.
The whole thing.
Yeah, and it's, again, impressive, but maybe fatiguing for the listener.
Another way of saying it, Tony Gregg said, not a big chorus here.
No.
It's a big everything, and I think that might be kind of the issue that I have with it. There's not like...
no build?
It's you know, 100%, crank it up to 10 from the get-go.
But this is also like... what you just said almost exactly. This is exactly the kind of song you would expect from three powerhouse players getting together to do a power trio jam. Yeah. And it's like, we don't want anything too complicated. We want to get something that we're going to be able to lock in on. And it's, you know, it's probably not going to be a pop single. We're just here to flex our muscles, and here you have it. So
probably sounds fantastic live when they toured with it. Assuming
it sounds fantastic here, what I'm listening to.
Sure,
but it's not. There's no big chorus that Andy favors, and you're not going to be tapping your toes to it or humming it. You're going to be drawn in by the the power and the formidability of the playing and that sort of thing.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going. Oh, I socialize with debutantes, all the beggars and the thieves.
Debutantes.
Okay.
That's a word I've heard, and I roughly think I know what it means, but I couldn't give you a definition.
That's just like a well-to-do young woman who's been groomed to be like, what, a socialite or
fancy okay. lady?
Something like that, yeah.
The female version of a fancy lad from Cabin yeah. Boy. Yeah,
so he's basically saying, he's Andy, Andy, what is he basically saying? He's wined and dined.
He is, with kings and queens, and slept in alleys, and dined on pork and beans.
Yes.
That's what he's telling us.
That's what he's saying.
Yep, Dusty Rhodes and Glenn Hughes.
If he was paying attention, he could have rhymed pork and beans with beggars and thieves.
That maybe he will.
Work.
It might be.
Looks like
up.
We're almost the end of the fucking lyrics already, though.
Yeah, but we're not even. We're about one third okay. into the song.
So I'm thinking there's going to be some gonzo musical jamming happening later.
It has to be the case. All right, let's see.
You know you were right and met me once. Cause I gave and you received. What did I say? There's no hideaway. Can you hear me? Do you understand?
So now, whenever we get into the chorus, mm-hmm. just going into "I'm a soul" and then holding the the note for the word "soul."
Yeah,
I'm thinking, "Soul Man" mm-hmm. is now just every single time. It's and
me
and,
too.
And I'm getting the thought of, is he gonna drop just the word "man" toward the end? Is he gonna, you know, instead of saying "mover," is he gonna say "soul man"? I don't know. I
hope so.
Because, I mean, I'm very much, obviously, musically it's different, but I'm getting heavy vibes here.
Yeah.
Heavy Blues Brothers vibes.
Yeah. Well, we've got a long way to go, and like Chris said, we've exhausted all lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, it went back to the chorus, obviously.
Yeah.
But was anything really said in this song? I see it, and it's, which is fine, but it's there's really not much lyrically to talk about, right? Because it's kind of your
it's
your stock. I'm a rock and roller kind of. That's right. What the song
and
is
just,
about.
You know, stream of consciousness, phrasing, and you know, dropping in the words debutantes and beggars and thieves and stuff like that. You know, it's just sort of like, you know, just a word salad, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. Well, are we gonna get a music salad?
That would be my prediction, given who we've got involved here.
But I'm going to predict like drums and bass are dropping out. We're going to get at some point a kind of repetitive guitar riff that's going to be maybe wah heavy, and then everything will kick in. That's my guess.
And then it'll launch into some sort of solo.
Yeah,
section.
That's wild guess.
All right.
All right.
It's a reasonable assumption.
What'd you guys think of that?
Navarro's good, man.
Oh, yeah. He's great, man.
That was really good.
I never consciously set out to play like him, but every time I listen to him, I'm like, okay, there were times more often than not when I sounded like that, and I feel good about that.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. He's
just a straight up kick ass rock and roll player. Great look on stage. I mean, a true rock star, absolutely.
And by all accounts, a guy who's had it from a very young age. That's what I always remember reading about him. He was one of those guys like that. Everyone was, oh, that's the guy. Like from our area, that's the guy who's going to be somebody.
And yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it seems to be a like a soft-spoken sweetheart of a guy, from what I can tell. You never really hear anything bad about him.
Yeah, not really. I can't think of anything. I'm sure there's whatever business disagreements or something. But as far as
fist fights with Perry Farrell on stage,
I've had more aggressive fist fights with my children than that.
Well, yeah, no, that's true. Confrontation, let's put it that way.
Yeah,
but no, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, he became kind of cartoonish with the look and with the Ink Master or whatever the tattoo reality show is.
What happens when you have a reality show, I guess.
Stuff like that. But in terms of just pure musicianship, guitar playing, he's in the upper echelon, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're. I think Andy is in this group, but Nick and I, for sure, definitely big, huge fans of the album he did with the Chili Peppers.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes, as time goes on, that's maybe my favorite album of theirs.
It's hard. Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get Chili Peppers fatigue, especially mm-hmm. with like the post One Hot Minute when Frusciante came back.
Yeah.
It's easy to get tired of that direction. At least it is for me. It's like,
which has been 27 years.
I
know
it's fucking been forever. Yeah. But Mother's Milk and Blood Sugar Sex Magik back to back, two different styles. Mother's Milk, of course, was the continuation of the Hillel Slovak era, mm-hmm. and then Blood Sugar took them in the direction that they kind of continue to this day, although it's a little softer, but two masterpieces right back to back. And those two, I never get sick of it, but everything that came after One Hot Minute,
I gotta say,
not everything. I kind of liked a few of this cuts off of Stadium Arcadium, just about everything else, I don't know, I can't get into it like I could with those two albums I mentioned before. And then of course One Hot Minute, you know,
it's underrated for sure, because I know I don't know too many people I've talked to about it, but a couple of people that I've talked to about it who are more like, they've stayed with the Chili Peppers as fans. I dropped off, I guess, 27 years ago.
The day after, or the day of Californication.
I bought it and went and listened to it, I'm like, they kind of turned a corner here. I'm sure it'll be successful, but it's just not really as much for me at
this
point.
That was a letdown, wasn't it? I was stoked because Frusciante was back, and I'm sure I bought the album either on the day it came out or close to it, and I listened to it once and I never listened to it again. This is not, this ain't it.
No,
the magic's gone.
But there are people that just, they laugh off One Hot Minute.
Yeah,
it's a punchline for I don't know. I can't say I converse with the Red Hot Chili Peppers fan community, but I know that to some people, it's essentially a punchline.
Well, to me, you know, we talk about it all the time, like these kind of weird lineups or whatever you want to call it. It's basically their equivalent of the Karabi Motley Crue album.
Yeah,
you know?
Kind of.
It's like you change one ingredient. We keep the same band name, but it's a totally different sound, and just the true fans of the band just rejected it. They weren't having it.
I think in a way, I don't know if this is a good analogy, but it's sort of like One Hot Minute is the Chili Peppers monster, REM monster album, I think, where it's a bit more straightforward as far as just being harder rock than their typical stuff.
Which, of course, is why that's my favorite REM album, hands down. I mean, I love that album, but again, that's one. It's almost like it's like too rocking for what the band's fans are used to, which I get with REM, but I don't get it with the Chili Peppers.
It's not maybe not as big a departure as like Monster is for REM fans, but it's I don't know if that's a good analogy, but it's
I think it
it's
is.
A bit more of a straightforward, cleaner rock album, I guess, heavier rock album. At least it has those elements.
Oh, absolutely.
Still has maybe their best ballad, My Friends. I'm just saying. Might be a hot take. I'm going hot take.
Aeroplane.
Aeroplane's great too.
They had, you know, both those songs were pretty.
I mean, how great is Warped? Just coming out of the gate with that, absolutely. With the delay on the vocal and all that. Yeah. Fantastic stuff.
And My Friends and Aeroplane definitely got no huge. Shortage of airplay.
Huge, yeah. Big.
But
videos were on all the time.
Yeah, people weren't, but the fan base wasn't having it, you know.
Well,
and I don't get the impression that they really got along very well. I mean, clearly Navarro and Smith must have formed a relationship because here they are jamming together again. But I don't get the impression that that he blended in well with Flea and Kiedis.
Seemed to.
I'm gonna.
At least they put on a good act.
Yeah, but it lasted one album. And he was out. Yeah, and true. Couldn't wait to get Frusciante back in.
I don't know all the details, the history of this, but if you think about it, Flea left with him, and they did Jane's Addiction together.
True. Yeah, that's right.
So
that's
maybe they did. You know, maybe they got along well for a while, yeah, but I don't think Anthony was vibing. Yeah, I don't think it was his vibe.
Fucking lead singers ruining everything.
Yeah,
it's like that meme you sent out earlier that the lead singer's not carrying any equipment and stuff. It's like it has never not been true. That was the band I was in college when we moved here to Chicago. That was the running joke about our singer. It's like he might carry his mic into the gig. But in terms of anything else, he's going to be off doing whatever, and the rest of us are going to be schlepping our equipment in. It's like it just...
He wasn't the drummer's teammate on bringing everything in to help out.
No, absolutely not. Or anybody else in the band.
That's what it should be.
That's a good idea.
Right? They got all that.
Has
bullshit.
Anybody ever thought of that before?
I think I just came up with something.
That's good.
Yeah. You know, I got one more question about Dave Navarro while we're talking about him. You know, because he is in the circles of hard rock in this era. He's a household name, you'd say. But do you think that he reached his potential? I kind of don't, as I'm thinking about it.
And
I don't mean with what he did, but with the heights he reached.
I think he did.
Because Jane's Addiction was done pretty early.
Yeah, but...
And he did the one Chili Peppers album. And then after that, Jane's Addiction was, you know... a tour and record some stuff.
Sure,
that
yeah, they're not going to be the same revolutionary act that they were.
Yeah, as far as like recording originals that
I have an album. I have a CD of his originals.
But, yeah, he had a solo.
So he did stuff like that, but yeah, I mean it didn't catch on.
The guys in Pearl Jam or something. Like those guys have a huge library and a long career with one band. Navarro's kind of chopped up in a short amount of time, and then he's still respected for all that amount of time, but it's not like one long.
Oh, okay.
Like, so this is his thing.
So, where, like, if Jane's Addiction had, but I don't think Jane's Addiction is a type of band that would have stayed
together. It's impossible. Yeah. It's just, you know, and then him landing in the Chili Peppers, if he would have stayed with them for the next 30 years, that would have been the thing. That didn't happen.
Yeah. I guess in that regard, maybe you are right. I think as far as notoriety and fame and respect and all that stuff, I think he did.
For sure.
But. Yeah, I could see what you're saying, like, as far as having being in a band for a long time. But, I mean, what are the chances that he wasn't offered stuff like that and he just didn't take it?
Yeah, I wonder if I was, in fact, I was literally just thinking this when you said this. I'm like, I was almost surprised he never ended up in the Foo Fighters, you know, or something like that. And maybe he was offered it and was just like, yeah, I'm not. I don't know if he's the right.
I don't know that.
Asked that same question about the Chili Peppers when Navarro's gonna be in the Chili Peppers. I don't know if that's the right fit. Then they come out with an album. It's great.
Yeah. True. Yeah. True.
Yeah. All right. Just throwing that out there. No disrespect intended.
But here's the thing. Navarro obviously is still alive. He survived all these years, but. When we're talking about a Hendrixian song, Jimi Hendrix put out 3 albums in his career.
True.
As a legend. He died, obviously, so that ended his recording career. And he had so many recordings in the can that all these posthumous albums came out. But while he was alive, he put out 3 albums. Mm-hmm. Randy Rhoads. The Quiet Riot stuff, sure, but with Ozzy, 2 albums.
Just say 2 albums, yeah.
So it's not about quantity, it's about quality.
Yeah,
and, sure.
A lot of these guys, these massive legends of the guitar, had pretty short discographies.
That's true. And every teenage girl out there today is wearing a Nirvana shirt. That's
three albums.
3 albums. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it's... But again, a lot of those were cut short by death.
Yeah.
Dave Navarro is still alive.
Yeah.
He just... He ventured off into reality TV, marrying Carmen Electra and the like. You know, he became more of a celebrity than a musician.
Which I guess you sort of... You sacrifice. You know, it's a give and take, I'm sure.
But... You know, Jane's Addiction, we talked about in the episodes we've had about them, one of the all-time great American bands.
Yeah.
Hugely influential. It pretty much was the linchpin for that whole pivoting of music in the late 80s, early 90s, or at least one of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was the man in that band, and that's huge.
It is. All right, back to this. There's no hideaway. Can you hear me? Do you understand? I'm a soul mover. Come on, I'll give you love. I'm a soul mover. Every moment, babe.
Come on, I'll give you love.
say happy birthday, get your love?
I think so.
All right. Well, some people like that on their birthday. I don't know. Some people love it. Happy birthday.
It's like more of a present for him, but
yeah, I was going to say, are we a little self-absorbed with that, or how's that? But
yeah,
she's got to come get it too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like here it is.
It's the old rose petals leading up to the bedroom maneuver. Just follow them on up. I'm waiting here for you.
Yep. All right, it's time for us to vote Sweet Surrender or Kick in the Crotch. I pulled the song from the listener submission list via Mark Givitz. If you want to add some songs to the listener submission list, potofthunder.com. No, wait, you can't do that. Patreon.com/potofthunder.
You can submit a yard of questions.
I flipped it around there. Yep.
Through the website, yep. Although that segment's been paused, but you never know, we'll bring it back. Somebody actually asked me this week through DMs, how can I submit a yard?
Oh, so nice.
It's still top of mind for some people. We might get back to it, but we'll see.
Yeah. I guess they still want it. Some people love it again. But you can submit songs to the listener submission list at any tier. Patreon.com/potofthunder.
Correct.
I'm going to vote first, and I'm going to give it a Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
Wasn't exactly sure what to expect, but I think this surpassed my expectations. I think it sounds great. Performances are great. If there's any criticism, I'm on your guys' side that it's very much like it's like a machismo song, but it's not really super crafted, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing, but that's how I feel about it. Who wants to vote next?
I can go next. I'll give it a Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender! Hell yes!
Yeah, it's absolutely a flex of three powerhouse musicians, and I think that's what they got together to put out. I don't think these three guys got together in the rehearsal room and was like, let's write a pop hit tonight. Mm-hmm. Let's tap into our sensitive sides, or who's got a really catchy melody they want to bring to the table? These three guys got together and like, let's pull our dicks out and wave them around a bit and flex for people, and that can be a fun thing to do. And you know, when you do that, song craft and melody and all this other stuff takes a back seat, and sometimes there's a time and a place when that's the right thing to do, and I think that's what it is here. It's, you know, there's probably mutual respect. These guys, they know each other, they like each other, but in terms of like musical chemistry, they haven't put in the years together. They haven't you know, developed that kind of chemistry, and again, you get these three guys together, this is what you would expect versus another Aeroplane or My Friends or that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it was a little more Hendrixian classic rock than I was expecting. I thought whenever Navarro's involved, well, you know you're going to get some wah, of course. But, you know, you almost think it's going to be a little more Jane sounding. But it was very, a little more modern tones, but like retro playing, very rooted in Hendrix, which is a little surprising for me, but in a good way. You know, again, what guitar player doesn't like to flex on Hendrix type jamming? I mean, if you got anything above the size of raisins in your pants, you're going to be into doing that as a guitar player, and even a bass player and a drummer. I mean, this is like, yeah, man, let's get together and put out a flex, and that's what they did. They succeeded.
Yeah, it was very Hendrix. I mean, it's There's quite a bit. I mean, it's a tribute to his influence, obviously. Yeah, but there a lot of guys are. It's there. Like Hendrix has. There's a thing where you're like, oh, he's doing Hendrix. You know, it's like one of those things where it's so easily identifiable.
Well, and it's also it's absolutely, you know, a lot of times you listen to a studio recording, you're like, gee, I wonder what the equipment was they used and what guitars and amps and blah blah blah. This is the sound of a Fender Stratocaster through a Marshall with probably a some sort of fuzz face in the middle there, maybe Roto vibe, but the guitar, absolutely a Strat, no question about it, into a cranked up Marshall with all the vintage effects. That's a Hendrix mid to late period rig right there. You get that sound. That's what these pieces of gear sound like, period.
Nick?
So, I don't feel like my current appearance is gonna tailor itself to my vote, so I had to do this and say, I'm kicking it.
Oh my goodness.
Oh no. It's a humiliating kick in the crotch! Wow. Okay.
I won't say anything. It's really just the fact that the song itself, it's like, okay, I get it that these guys who are at the top rung sort of musicians in this genre, they get together and they want to jam and stuff like that. But just to me, there's really nothing creatively being brought to the table. Hmm. Which I guess, you know, there doesn't have to be, but just the way I'm feeling listening to it right now, I'm like, okay, like these guys are great, but I just don't care.
Nah.
It's 100% valid. I totally understand that. This is kind of like what you would get at the local jam night, and thank God it's not a 1-4-5 blues, but like a local jam night with guys who can play and have some chemistry, and one of them brings a riff to the table, this is what you would get. And you know, it's cool, but like you said, is it resonating with me on an emotional level? And the answer is no. Hmm. I mean, it's for me resonating on a guttural level, you know, sort of a primal enjoyment of, you know, just throwing it, being muscular as a musician and masculine and formidable and all that stuff. But when you lose that sensitive melodic side, like Nick says, is it something I really care about? And if you're being honest, the answer is probably no. So 100% valid standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange because I'm kicking it, but I'm not knocking it in any way. It's just this type of side project, you know, these guys are I'm sure they're getting a huge charge out of it, but just me listening to it, it's just sort of, okay, they're having fun jamming, they sound great, but again, to put it bluntly, I just don't really care.
100%
it doesn't
valid.
Need to be for sale on an album. It just, like, honestly, it doesn't. It's a thing where they're having a great time, but
we don't need to know about it.
We don't need to know about it. That's how I feel about not all, but a lot of these little supergroup project things that happen like this.
I actually agree with that too. It's like there comes a point where guys can be too prolific. It's like you don't have to put out everything that you record. Every project you're involved in is not worthy of an album being put out, but you know, that's what musicians do. They put stuff out.
I mean, but if you get the opportunity and if someone's like, yep, we'll distribute,
is work. This has turned into a job for a little while.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah. If you have a record label, whatever, distribution, all that, people are willing to do it. Who can fault you for saying, yeah, absolutely. But as just a guy who's potentially your audience, I can't really care about everything.
There you go.
I don't have the time and energy to care about everything.
Yeah, it's too. And if you look back at Glenn Hughes' career, he's been involved in so many different projects with so many different musicians, and it's like, you know, chemistry is a real thing. And like when you put out multiple albums, so by Black Country Communion, he's put out, I think they put out their fifth album recently, so they've got some chemistry there. That material is way better than what we just heard because there's some song craft in there, there's tension of melody, all that stuff. And it comes from chemistry and, you know, building that up and continuing to work with people and not doing just these one-off things and then you're on to the next thing.
Yeah. Now, I don't have my glasses on. Did Tony Griggs just say Daddy Yankee has some good songs?
Yep. No. So Damn Yankees crafted some very good songs as a super group.
That's true.
Yeah, no denying they're not, that. There's exceptions to every rule, but Blades and Shaw are better songwriters than Glenn Hughes. I don't think anybody would be disputing that.
Yeah,
I don't even think Glenn Hughes would dispute that.
I don't know. I'm just thinking that it also just depends who's involved and what their goals are, what the songwriter's intention is. Because if they're, you know, it could be written by a single person with no chemistry, too, and it could have some depth to it. And you could just say, hey, this is what we're doing. Learn the material.
Sure.
That's possible, too.
Well, of course it is. It happens all the time. Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah. You know, I think this is just, we're all, like Nick said, pros, this is the vibe, let's do something, let's crank it out quickly, and this is what it is.
Have fun with it and put it out. And
I'd be surprised if there wasn't just like, hey, we're doing a Hendrix thing.
Yeah.
Like, this song's going to be a Hendrix thing. Yeah. Okay.
Or you know, we've all been there. You get three guys in this case, or however many guys you get together in a rehearsal room, and what do you say? Okay, you look around and you go, okay, you got anything? And somebody would be like, yeah, I've been working on this riff, and Navarro plays that foxy lady sounding riff, and everybody falls in, and half an hour later you got a song.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest song by any means, but you know, I had these lyrics kicking around. Okay, this, we've just created Soul Mover. Let's fine tune it a bit and record it and put it out.
It's a good title too.
Yeah,
it's good. Oh, we just got a message in from Glenn Hughes, directed at Nick.
Hell no! Trash ass.
Wow, not happy with your vote.
A plethora of trash.
Yep,
not good.
100% valid though. I absolutely see Nick's viewpoint, and it's the other thing is, a lot of times when we kick something or even give it a sweet surrender, people think these are resounding votes. Nick was probably this far over into, now if I'm speaking out of turn, and this is not, if you actually hated it,
no,
it's fine, but you can just be a little off center and that's where your vote goes. Yeah. It's not a resounding, it's not like it's that Tommy Lee song he had a few years ago.
Yeah,
it's not absolute garbage, but you know, in terms of something, at the end of the day, it's melody that gets people excited about a pop song, a rock song. That's what makes things memorable. And this didn't have it.
Mm-mm. All right. If you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Let's take a quick commercial break.
So quick.
We'll be right back with everybody's favorite new segment, Seasonal Jokes.
Oh, no.
We got weights and fish!
There we are!
The jokes come out at night. The jokes come out at night. The jokes come out at night.
The jokes come out.
The jokes come out at night.
And they're not going back inside. No, I guess
they're not.
No.
They might after at least one of my jokes. I don't know.
Well.
So what's going on here?
You guessed it. Friday night fish fry jokes.
It's going to be funny.
It is the Lenten season. Friday night fish fries are huge right now around here.
Yeah.
Probably everywhere, right?
At least in the United States, I'm guessing. Yeah. Outside of the United States, I'm not
sure. I can't think of a spot where they wouldn't be.
So we got some jokes about this phenomenon.
We do.
This perennial phenomenon.
How many do you have?
I have quite a few.
But we talked about possibly extending this segment because Lent is a continuous thing.
Yeah,
Lent's so going through the end of the month, right?
Lent goes until early April.
Yeah.
So, I think I can hold a few back just in case we come back to this.
That's up to then. You, or you could write more. I don't know.
Well, right now I've got six.
All right, well, can I start with one? I've actually got two. I want to start with one because I fear that you've tapped into this theme, and I just want to take ownership of it first, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And you can either keep it in your list or you can
if I have one that's similar, I'll just tell it right after yours.
I'd be shocked if you didn't go down this road. The other one, there's no way in hell that you did it because you're not that stupid. But
you might change your mind on that.
Would you mind though if I opened with this one?
Certainly not.
All right, Andy, you ready?
I'm ready.
What did the parking lot paver want more of at the Friday night fish fry?
Parking lot paver.
Andy?
I don't know. Nick? Trying to think of what this could be.
Parking lot paver. No, I don't know.
He wanted more tartar sauce.
That's good. Nope, did not.
This guy's such a big man over here.
No tartar sauce your group?
No, did not think of tartar sauce.
That's good. We won't get any duplicates. All right,
I'll start mine off with, I think probably the best opening joke of all of them on the list. Why does the manager of the fish market wear earplugs? Why does the manager of the fish market wear an earplugs?
No idea.
He doesn't want to suffer from hearing loss.
What's wrong with you, man?
I mean, of course he wouldn't want to.
That's a good point.
Loss prevention is going to have to come to town.
Absolutely, it is. you ought to do another one because I only have one more. But
sure, I can do
space them out a little bit.
I could do a couple more.
Yeah,
I got a really stupid one.
All right,
you want a really stupid one?
Yes, right. We do.
Okay.
Wait, did you clear any of these with Annie? Did she reject any, and you just are ignoring?
She liked a couple of them a lot. The one I'm about to tell you, she didn't. She's familiar with the subject matter, but didn't quite get the joke.
Okay.
She didn't strongly advise me to not tell it like she normally does, though. All right.
And of course, every time she does that, you just flat out ignore it, which I could respect. I love that.
Oh boy. I feel stupid just reading it. What is Manti Te'o's favorite kind of fish?
Oh boy.
It's gotta be something catfish.
Is that it?
Well, the part of the joke is that people are, of course, the answer would be a catfish.
Yeah.
But, so I went with something a little different.
Okay.
That sort of makes sense given his profession. Manti Te'o's favorite kind of fish It's the long snapper.
Yo, tell me what this.
Told you it was stupid. You want to do your other one?
And then I can do my
then
other one.
Then I can throw one more out there.
Yeah.
And then save the others.
All right. What catchphrase / theme song does the smooth R&B loving African American church use each year to promote its Lenten fish fry?
Wow. So what we're looking for is a song.
No. What catchphrase / theme song does the smooth R&B loving African American church use each year to promote its Lenten fish fry?
I don't know.
So a catchphrase contained within a song, I guess you could say.
Okay. I give up.
Nothing, Andy?
No, nothing.
Return of the mackerel.
Oh,
return of the mackerel.
That's good.
Return of the mackerel.
Nick.
Okay, I'm
one more.
I'm memorizing this one, or at least close enough. This. Okay. 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 Now I haven't done this impression since the last time on the show.
Impressions.
Since it's fish. I don't even know I can do it. I don't even know if I could do it the first time.
You got pretty close the first time. People like that.
Well, I haven't rehearsed this one, so we'll see. What do you call a 1970s TV special featuring Abe Vigoda and the California Highway Patrol?
Oh.
Fish and chips.
Fish and chips.
How dare him? How dare him?
There you go.
I got some of my favorite ones still in there, so.
Keeping them in your back pocket.
Yeah. The Lent goes on for a few weeks. Yeah, so this would be a prolonged jokes theme. I'll have to come up with some more.
And we were talking about the return of a different segment possibly next week.
Oh?
But that's about all we can say.
Okay.
The jokes may be on hold for a week.
Oh, and yeah, we did talk about
there may
about
be
this.
Another old segment.
Or we might we'll do see. Both segments. Do whatever the fuck we want to do.
So. Okay.
All right.
So we'll have weights and fish another week.
That's good. I don't want that to go away.
I watched that video. Man, that's just... Talk about a place just suddenly erupting.
Explain where that comes from for people who don't know. Just a quick...
Was Andy the one that brought that to our attention? I think
so. Maybe.
I think it was Andy. Years ago, there was a professional fishing tournament, contest, what have you. People taking it very seriously, big cash prizes and all that.
Well, the professional fishing is... that's a thing, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money on the line, sponsorships. That's a serious thing, man.
So they're inspecting. I'm assuming this was the guys who won. I don't know if they won it, but the weight was up there in the rankings, and somehow or for whatever reason they discovered that there were little metal weights put into them to give them a dishonest edge over everybody else, and then the place went nuts.
Yeah, I mean, what are the odds that you're going to catch someone doing... Maybe it happens more often than we think. I don't know about fishing tournaments, but...
It was a scene.
You think those guys made it out alive?
No kidding.
I mean, based on that video, it was heading in the direction that those guys are going to be carried out either on a stretcher or in a hearse, one of the two.
So, yeah, that's...
It was not going to end well for those guys.
That's I think Andy's the one that brought that to our attention.
Possible.
And it turned into quite the scene.
We got weights and fish. To yell that in a public setting like that.
And then just immediately
pitchforks, everybody and torches
yelling.
Come yes, out.
Immediately everybody in that crowd is yelling at the same time.
Yeah.
Deservedly so, like you said, if you know, people are counting on making some money here and you're cheating.
Yeah, there's real consequences to the people who get cheated out of winning it legitimately.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of the Pinewood Derbies and the Cub Scouts, notorious for guys' dads, cheating with the cars, putting weights in it.
I remember they weighed the cars the year I placed second, though I had my suspicions.
You think the first place
the first cheated? Well, the first place, the guy who came in first ran his car backwards the whole time and won. I don't know. I guess that's not against the rules, but I'm gonna get my lawyers on that too.
Yeah, exactly.
I got two for you.
One, statute of limitations might have run out. 1988 or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you everybody for being with us today. Hope you had a good time. Hope you have a good weekend coming up. Don't be a stranger. And if you're interested, again, patreon.com/potofthunder helps us greatly, greatly appreciated. If it's not the time for you right now, that's okay, too. We're glad to have you. We'll be back next week with another episode of Pot of Thunder. But for now, we gonna get in that bed.